Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out, that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages. Whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat or trading those late-night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else. Not even us. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
You're listening to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. This is Dr. Charles Laux, and this is episode number 91. We have a wonderful guest, Kiana June Weber, and she is an American-Irish fiddler, an educator, an entrepreneur, and just an all-around amazing person. She's done some really cool things in her career, and I'm really excited to welcome Kiana to the podcast. Welcome to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's
absolutely
such an honor and a treat to be here.
Well, you know, I've seen your, you know, some of the things you do, like on Instagram, and all the amazing the content you put out, and it was just like when I met you at Midwest, it was like we got to have you on the podcast so you can tell everybody about all the things you're doing. And I know you're really into education, so let's go ahead and let you speak. Tell us about your background.
Sure.
And where you're from, because it's a fascinating story, and I wish I would have recorded it first time at Midwest, but we'll do it here.
Yeah, no, this is perfect, and I feel like we have more time, even, you know,
right,
than passing through clinic hallways.
And less people, yeah.
Yeah.
Less busyness.
So, exactly. Yeah. And those are such supercharged events, but it's really nice to just get to connect and, you know, talk to everyone on your podcast too. So, my background, it's funny. I think a lot of people don't know about me. Obviously, I do a lot of performing. You've probably seen some of my content that I produce. But my background really is rooted in education. Both of my parents are teachers.
Nice.
And my brother's a teacher. I don't know why I forget to include him. It's like family profession.
Right.
All of us do it. And it was really the main topic at dinner growing up. Every night was like pedagogical theories and practices. And a big part of what both of my parents do in their classrooms is reignite creativity and out-of-the-box thinking for students.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a big part of everything that we do. And they actually run a summer camp together, two of them.
Orchestra camp? Music camp?
It's not. It's an outdoor kind of creativity camp.
Oh,
kids
fun.
Are in nature with their hands in the dirt, going on hikes, drawing birds. So there's like,
oh, nice.
It's really mixed modal. It's hard to explain until you're there, but every kid that comes, like, this is the new thing I want to do all summer.
Cool.
And it's brilliant. And we
Sounds
do lots
awesome.
Of like arts and crafts and creative play when I'm there. We do lots of music stuff, but it kind of depends on the skills of the people that are around. And my parents are particularly gifted in like creative arts and ecology. And my dad's a history teacher. So there's like a weird blend of all of these things.
Yeah.
Anyways, hard to describe, but you just have to check it out sometimes. But anyways, all to say, that's sort of the background of my life growing up, you know, ages 0 to going to college was my life.
Hmm.
And I think that kind of formed the way I see the world, in that there weren't really boundaries between subjects. There weren't boundaries between this is art, this is science, this is, you know, this is your music lesson. They were kind of all a very blended thing. And that certainly spilled over into how I viewed different kinds of music that I was playing. So I was given classical music. I studied Suzuki, you know,
okay.
did all of the stuff. But I also had a violin teacher that would throw me fiddle tunes, and I didn't really know the difference. I didn't know that there was a barrier there that, you know, I need to be aware of. And I think that actually really served me well. So it wasn't really until going to college when I ended up getting into it with some professors that were like, no, this is not what we do. We're not going to play those styles here. You can't be doing that. Please don't be gigging on the weekend. You're ruining this technique.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, it was a whole thing, but
yeah, it's a little, I all mean, to little say, part of minded almost, you know, just, but I guess absolutely. Everybody has their focus and they're like, you need to be doing this. You need to be, you know, doing this repertoire or whatever it might be. So I guess I get that.
Yeah.
But you were a rebel.
A rebel, a renegade. Yeah. I often joke about that online. And I think that, you know, anyways, all to say that just not having those boundaries has really informed who I am as a performer, but also as an educator.
Great.
So anyways, fast forward, went to college, did all the stuff, ended up leaving school and getting a gig fiddling. So I was part of the cast of Barrage, which
is a probably pretty some good gig. Yeah, everybody, a lot of people know Barrage. Barrage is very well known. Amazing. And you were what?
Yeah.
I
was 19.
19. And you just I'm leaving school. I'm going to play with Barrage all over the world, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So I left school for 3 years and went all over the world. And it was wild. It was just the most amazing performing experience, but also learning experience for me. You know, I kind of traded this normal college experience for a real like international education of world experience.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that say, don't save for your kids' college, take them places, show them the world, give them the experiences, and those kind of things will equate in their educational experiences and their grades to getting scholarships to go to college so you don't have to pay for it. I don't know.
I've
heard that before.
I would second that. Yeah.
You're a prime example, I guess. Yeah.
It wasn't the plan,
right?
But my parents were really supportive of it. You know, I'd been in school on a scholarship, and this was, you know, they were a little bit like, "Are you sure you want to do this? Will you go back?" My dad had traveled a lot and was like, "No, I think this is going to be good. You should do it." And yeah, I mean, right away within the first year, I was like, basically instantly given, you know, 6 hours of music to learn. Coaching with a dance instructor, which is a big part of Barrage, if anyone's seen it. There's still some videos out there, but like, you know, I had to work choreographer every day and then kind of dropped in all these amazing places. We spent a month in China on my first tour. I turned 21. I remember I'd been with Barrage for 2 years and I had my 21st birthday in Amsterdam, which was wild, you know, just like a totally different experience. Yeah, it was really cool. And I think that's kind of what has informed my whole career afterwards. Again, another experience that was like so beyond the boundaries of like normal, this is classical, this is not, or this is not. I was like living in the real world, interacting with cultures all over the place, interacting with students. Which is another cool part of Barrage because we got to do clinics at schools all over the world, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, well, that I know, was just I mean, super... I remember
at my former school at Alpharetta High School, there was a drum head, I think, with Barrage and everybody signed it. Your signature may have been on it. I don't know. And I wasn't there at the time when you guys went there, but I remember seeing that and it's still probably in the classroom. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really cool thing, a really, really big part of that gig. You know, it was a lot of performing, a lot of these like international tours, but also getting to interact with music students all over the world. And that was super special. You know, music, again, just proved to be this like really universal language and getting to show people how to use like slightly different techniques and fiddle styles and move around. And, you know, the eclectic nature of the music in that group, I think really for itself and was really influenced by all the places that we went.
Just
but
a
that
dynamic
was just
group
like,
though. I mean, just a bunch of amazing players and a lot of energy and so cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, just so, so like, formative for all of us that were in it at that time. And I, you know, I'm sure you've probably talked to a few people that have been in that ensemble, but everyone's doing really interesting, unique things. A lot of people are in education, which is really exciting. It's just, I can't say enough amazing things about it, but that's kind of like where I really hope to go as a teacher and a clinician. I've just been so informed by that experience. And
yeah,
not only as a person who was in it, but I actually was a student when the very first tour of Rosh came, I got to experience some people coming to my high school. So that really informed mm-hmm. my decision to keep pursuing it. And then, a few years later to actually get to be in that ensemble right. was a magical like a experience.
Dream come true. Yeah, for sure.
It really, really was. Yeah. Let's see, I'm trying to think where to go next with this. So I basically did that. I did go back to school. So Yay. My parents are happy about that. Did go back, got the performance degree. I finished my education degree. And then I ended up, pursuing a career performing for a while as well. Mm-hmm. I was another gig with a rock band, Celtic rock band called Gaelic Storm, which I toured with for 5 years.
Definitely. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're another super cool band to be a part of. What was really neat about that experience is I got to use more of my recording, orchestrating, arranging brain.
Very cool.
So different parts of the music training world, but yeah, we ended up recording four number one albums while I was with them, which
Holy
was
cow.
Pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that was a
so 5 years
treat.
There.
5 yeah, years with five, okay. almost, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, basically, yeah, almost like, yeah, I think it was 3 years with Garage, back to school briefly, 5 years with Gaelic Storm. And then just as I was leaving Gaelic Storm, this new Broadway show was being formed called Come From Away.
Okay.
And the person who actually orchestrated, arranged and orchestrated that was really inspired by the music of Gaelic Storm and reached out to me being like, hey, I'm using some of these fiddle riffs and some stuff I'm writing for this show. Would you ever be interested? And yes. I was like, no, absolutely not. No? I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Anyways, after a couple of conversations with people on the team, I was like, oh, wait, no, I do really want to do this.
Yeah.
I always laughed at my original reaction was like, I don't want to do that. That sounds crazy. I was picturing a job that was me sitting in a pit orchestra playing, in between a bunch of solos. And this was not that show at all. Again, this is a fiddle player that's on stage playing all kinds of eclectic music, a lot of fiddle inspired music, but I also had to play all the classical real orchestra pads in the show. So it was a great blend of the super technical and the super fiddly, and then being a character on stage. And yeah,
that's
so
cool.
It was super fun.
So you lived in New York or how long were you in New York?
So I actually, I spent most of the time on the tour. So the New York show was not on for that long.
Okay.
And then we did the tour for part of that included the pandemics, but all in all, it was about 6 years.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
And so what are you up to now? What are you doing now?
Yeah. Perfect question. So during that time, partially inspired by the pandemic, but right before the pandemic, I kind of launched this online music teaching program, teaching folk and fiddle music, especially to classical players, because again, I just have never seen that boundary. And it's something I really wanted to help people with. And I had lots of people reach out at shows and asked, how do you do this? How do I get started doing what you're doing?
Well, I mean, a lot of us who are classically trained, we never had training on fiddling. I mean, I'm it's very foreign to me. I know, things that are written down, but I know that there's so much to it. And I feel like a complete novice. And I think there's a lot of probably a lot of teachers out there that feel the same way.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of my students and clients are music teachers. I work with a lot of teachers that are interested in answering those exact questions. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in this music, but how do I get started? Or I want this with my students. They're asking for it. What do I need to learn to do that? And it can feel super daunting at the start. I totally know that. I've been through that myself as someone who kind of dove into it and had to make sense of those two worlds. But so I started working with a lot of people online, and then that business kind of grew into this really large part of what I do throughout the course of doing that show, pandemic happening right after I'd launched this business. And then also to now, I basically do that full time where I work with teachers and music students all over the world, online and in person, either doing clinics or one-on-one lessons and conversations just like this, where we get out our instruments and we talk about, okay, how do I do this? Because there's not a lot of codified ways to really explain that. You know, pedagogy in folk music has often been like very by ear, very much sort of done in community settings. Yeah, so getting someone that can kind of, So my hope is to really coach people through that process in a way that feels really supportive and safe, and then uses words that you know, like, for example, I use kole as the basis for how I teach chopping. You know, a chop is essentially just like a weird little version of a kole stroke. Yeah. And once you get that in your brain, everyone can do it. Yeah. And it's also just so great for your students. Like once they are chopping, then you can just tell them, okay, now we're going to do that in the middle of the bow. And they already know how to do kole. And it's brilliant.
Well, and that's, you know, that motion is the essential motion for having great direction changes and smooth bow, you know, smooth bowing. And it's a hard thing to teach, but maybe something like a chop or fiddle music can really make it simpler to teach and simpler for kids to understand, you know, how to implement into their playing for everything. Because I know when I went to college, I had terrible bow hold, terrible finger. My fingers were pretty much locked. And so I did kole for hours and hours and hours and hours to develop that. Yeah. I mean, that's just was a huge thing that set me free, really.
That's pretty amazing. Cool. I mean, I need to hear more about that story. Like, were you in etudes to do for that? Or were you just sort of like on open string trying to do? Well,
starting with open string and then eventually went into, you know, some etudes and like the some of the string crossing ones in Kreutzer and things like that.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
My teacher, Howard Beebe at Ohio University, was a Galamian student, and he taught in the Galamian style. And I mean, I owe him everything because I was not really a good player at all coming in, and they took a chance on me, and I guess it worked. So, but he was just an amazing teacher. I just owe him so much. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, see, imagine if you just like, you can repurpose so many of those to use with your orchestra students, but then throw in some fiddle tech, like instead of doing, you know, the pitch on the top note in that, if you just do a chop instead, it works. You're practicing playing the lower notes. You get a chance to like practice that rhythmic sound that kids find super
motivating.
And feel
free, like if there's something you want to show us, I see your fiddle back there. If you want to show us anything, I think I know it's a podcast, but people love this stuff. So of course, we're doing an impromptu here, but this is wonderful.
Yeah. So and this is, you know, I think people are afraid to like teach fiddle stuff in a really large classroom as well, because there's so many variables. You're like looking at a classroom of 60 kids and like, how do I tell if they're doing it right? It's going to sound awful. But here's the secret. I actually think chopping is brilliant in a huge group because it's so easy to tell if they're struggling. You know, if someone is doing it wrong, their bow is like bouncing all over the place and it just looks completely different. You know? So what we want to get is like that sound where they, you know, it's a really dead sound. It sits in the string. Their fingers are soft. I always describe it like they are using the shocks on a bike, right? Yep. So you have to have something that absorbs that sound. And that's where that kole feeling is. Like, can you move your fingers like the little, the octopus, right?
Yeah. We call it the claw.
And if they're not doing that, if they're not getting that softness, you know, and like you said, your fingers are
just
like
rigid.
If you've got them locked, it doesn't work. It bounces. Mm-hmm. So you'll see in a classroom, you can be like, oh, okay, those 10 kids. Yeah. I can see instantly because your arm's bouncing.
Cool.
And you can just pull them aside for a second and say, okay, we need that softer thing. Can you do the little octopus? Can we get that soft? Here's the sound you should get. This should be really motivating. Mm-hmm. You should get a dead thud. It should sound like, you know, this part of a drum. And those are things I find high school kids get really motivated about, middle school too. But like, it's just, I find that to be a really, really great way to get them excited. And then you can use that as a rhythmic tool for so many other things. You know, that's now they've already learned that, okay, violins, can you keep time? I'm going to work on this thing with the cellos over here. Be our metronome. Can you all chop on the downbeat? You know,
nice.
That's giving them something to do. They're practicing. They're getting better at that, you know, actual colle in their stroke. Mm-hmm. And I can actually work on something else in that, you know, maybe it's a piece. I was just working on this really cool piece that had like this very interesting cello run at the very end. And it took a lot of work to get there, but we had kept having to come up with creative things for everybody else to do during that time.
Right,
so we were doing lots of like, okay, can somebody else, you know, I need fiddles. You're going to keep the beat for us bass players. Okay. Ignore what's written there. Can you just play like 1 and 5 for us? We just need like, we just need you to do something, be our backing band while we practice this.
Nice.
Anyways, those are just some of the ways that I find like using those little bits of fiddle music in the full orchestra classroom makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, I'm really interested.
But that's me.
I'm really interested because I know that there's so much that students can get out of it. And, you know, most kids, you know, like the music we play in class, but I know that there's a few that they're ready for something else, you know, and this could be a really great answer for them.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be everything either. Right. Like it's okay for kids to not love it. I just think it can be a part of a little part of your warm-up that's, you know, maybe we have this folk tune that we do as part of our warm-up every day for a couple months and everybody knows it. And like, this doesn't have to be their favorite thing ever, but it could be something, it's a shared piece. Everyone in the community knows. So that already creates like great community building.
Yeah.
Then we can start to use it for like little technical exercises. Like, okay, we're going to play Cripple Creek today at the tip of the bow. We're going to play Cripple Creek bounced today. We're going to do, you know, you could do anything.
Variations are great.
And it's just something they know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then you're teaching them how to make variations. Then you can put it in your concert. You know, it becomes a really quick little like, hey, here's something we all know. Let's talk about arranging. Let's figure out how we can put their arrangement of this tune. Okay, does everyone know the chords? Can we all figure out, you know, little small groups? Let's break this down and figure out how we can do some student arranging projects and put this together into a performance on our next concert.
Cool.
Anyways, sorry, I'm getting into nerd mode here.
this is why we're here, right? This is what the orc teachers want to hear is all this great stuff, all these ideas, and it's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. So, gosh. Well, yeah, this is the stuff I really love doing. And I think, I guess part of my mission is to make orchestra teachers ever feel empowered to do this stuff. Because I think sometimes there's this barrier of like, well, I didn't learn that.
No.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that with my students. So do I learn first or how do I learn it with them? It takes a lot of bravery. And of course, we're all overtired. Nobody has any time. You know, there's no resources to go and learn this stuff. I think so. Just diving in with your kids bravely and boldly is going to be the best way because they'll see your fun too. You know?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. It's very similar to improvisation. You know, there's people who are just like, I'm not going to improvise. And it's, you know, different styles are sometimes difficult to get into as well if you're just uncomfortable. So this is fantastic that you have these resources. I know you have some workshops coming up. Are they free? They're free. I think you said they're free upcoming workshops.
They are.
Zero to Fiddle. Yeah. Zero to Fiddle. Tell us a little bit about that workshop.
Yeah, okay.
It's called Zero
to
Fiddle.
So that workshop, that one, so I've done this a few times, but really it's for that classical player we're talking about. That's, you know, the person who has always wanted to learn how to fiddle and really know how to start. And it's a, you know, it's a bring your instrument workshop, not just for violin players, but anyone who's interested on their instrument in playing folk music, to just sort of break free from the page. And we'll learn some core techniques that like make this really possible. We're going to talk about stylistic differences in real time, you know, using tunes. I pick a different one every time I run this workshop, but sometimes then the Silver Spear, which is a tune that goes kind of like this. So we'll learn that. I'll give people the sheet music. So it's not going to be scary.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just learning like, how do I play that in a way that's fun, that feels stylistically appropriate, that kind of just like rips the bandaid off and gets me into that world in a really lovely way.
Cool.
And some of that involves like where you're putting the accent. You know, in classical music, we usually do one and three.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want, like that dream house or ride, is a great feeling. That's why the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you save when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from, I know the way, to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
But in a fiddle tune, we want to put it on the 2 and 4, so we start to practice that. Really simple things like that.
And it's very simple, but holy cow, what a difference, right? I mean, it's...
Super big difference, yeah. And
yeah.
It just takes like a little bit of a coach to say, hey, try this thing. You're already technically capable of doing this. You just have to think about it differently. So we're going to use those skills and put them in a different spot.
Awesome.
And I, every time I've done this workshop, everyone walks away after 60 minutes being able to like play it that they love. They're bouncing off the walls. They're like, oh my God, I can do it.
Cool.
So that's the goal. Yeah. And then I have another one that's kind of on, we were just talking about how to use folk music in your classroom. And this is, I'm calling it the Folk Orchestra, but it's really, it's a free workshop for teachers that it's really just talking about what we've been exploring a little bit today, but in a super practical way, again, hands-on, like how do we use some of these tunes? And everyone's curious about how to include more other styles of music in the classroom, but how do you use them in a way that like makes sense in your program? Because we still want to work on all the beautiful classical pieces that are part of our performance program. How do we make a warm-up that's 10 minutes that uses a fiddle tune that actually leads into something we could perform at the end of the year? You know, so it's not a dead end. It's like a useful thing that we're using in a classroom as a tool.
Great tool.
And some of those things come up with like, you know, developing arranging skills, understanding different bow strokes, and just having like a different thing in your classroom that can be a shared resource for them to practice all of that. So that's what that one's going to be called.
Are those done synchronously? So you're live online?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
So I'm going to pull up your website. I'm just going to slide over here so people can see. But is it under events or is it under... I'm looking here.
I'll give you all the links for all of that. But yeah, if you go to the store and like search for workshops, you can also access it through Instagram. And you know, there'll be loads of different ways to sign up for that. But yeah, KianaJune.com.
Okay.
You'll be able to find it under events there and also in
Very
the
cool.
store if you want to just look
Very
for
cool.
stuff
yeah.
there. Yeah.
When are those coming up then? When will those be?
Okay, so the first one is on, let me make sure I'm doing this right. Okay,
the Zero to Fiddle?
The first one, yeah, Zero to Fiddle is February 24th.
Okay, coming up pretty soon, yep.
Yeah, so that one's going to be soon. You can register for it now. Again, it's free, like just show up. And if you can't be there live, you'll get the recording afterwards, nice. But definitely just register.
Is that on Zoom?
And then... I use Google Meets, yep, but
that's
it's
what I'm using
on.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, online. You can Zoom from anywhere if we're using that as the verb. and then the following week on a Tuesday, March 4th, is Fiddle in the Classroom or the Folk Orchestra.
Folk Orchestra, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely put links up in the podcast description, so make sure you check it out on YouTube or on Spotify, Apple. It'll all be in there for you guys. Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And they're totally free.
I'd love to see everyone there. They're fully free. I mean, this is my mission. I really want to give resources to teachers as much as possible. You know, I've spent time in the trenches myself, and I know, as we were discussing, like everyone is tired. There's not enough time. There's not enough support. There's not enough resources. And I've really want to use some of the luck I've been granted in my performance career and my educational career to give back to the system that created that. So
that's great.
These are free. I also run an email list of just like free resources for orchestra teachers. That's sort of your weekly cheerleader and helpful lesson planner.
And those are on your website as well?
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Okay. There's a landing page for that. So definitely sign up for that. And it's, you know, loads of little fiddle tricks and resources that you can use right away.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, this is awesome stuff you shared, and super excited for teachers to be able to check this out. Anything else you want to share and talk about today? I mean, you have such a great, you know, history and all this diverse stuff you've done. And are you looking to continue teaching online? Are you looking to get into a classroom someday? Or what are your plans?
That's such a good question. Yeah, I will continue teaching online. That's a big part of what I do. And I love that I can reach so many people that way, again, with like private students. I do virtual clinics as well. I've often done like, you know, drop into school classrooms, which is a really nice way to make that like clinic experience really affordable.
Sure.
And I do in-person residencies and all that kind of stuff, you know, zooming around the place. But I'm really excited to have like a full-time teaching position. I've been touring for so long. That I'm just really excited to like get into a community that's looking for a really passionate orchestra teacher.
Well, I tell you, Atlanta area, we have so many, and I feel sometimes guilty for recruiting all these people to Atlanta because we've recruited a whole bunch of really great teachers down here and moved from all different places. But it's a place, it's a place to be. I'm telling you. But yeah,
but that's wonderful. Not biased at all.
Not biased at all. But we have a real great community here. But wonderful. Oh, cool. This is fantastic. I really am excited about it. I'm so glad that you agreed to be on the podcast and excited to share all of your resources for sure. So your website is KianaJune.com, and I'll be sharing, like I said, the links and the podcast description on YouTube and Spotify and Apple as well. So awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. This has
absolutely
been a real treat.
It has been a treat for all of us, and look forward to will you be at ASTA this year?
I will. Okay. Yes.
So if you're going to ASTA, I'll definitely be there, and Kiana will be there. You know, the great thing about ASTA is it's a big conference, but it's really not that big of a conference, and so I'm sure you'll run into a whole bunch of great people there, and be awesome to see you.
Yeah, look forward to, if anyone runs into me in the halls, like wave me down. I love chatting to people. So
absolutely
super excited.
Well, thank you again. And we will see you. This is a wrap for episode 91. Thank you, Kiana, for being here. And we will see everybody next time on the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in. For resources and more information, visit orchestrateacher.net.